I'm Bob Joseph. Today is Tuesday, September 9th, 2025. The issues will be discussed in the next couple of hours. Feel free to participate. 607-772-1290. Feel free to send your contributions to my birthday book. So if you have a birthday book letter that you would like to submit, you can direct it to my assistant, and she will include it in my birthday book. Good morning. Seen any good birthday books lately? I admit, I've never submitted a letter for a birthday book. And I'm inclined to think I never will. Let's take a call, see what the viewers have to say. Good morning, you're on the air. What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Good morning, Bob. My name is Tony, and I'm calling from Conklin.
Good morning, Tony. What's up?
Well, I was listening to your news report earlier when you were on, and the Supremes and their judgment to go forth with gathering up people because of their color, skin, looks, establishments they might be working at or coming out of. And I feel now that I might have a problem someday just because my name is Tony and I have a mustache and I go to the Italian clubs. And this is, it's disturbing that's the choice they made and the reason they gave.
This is America today, and it's further evidence elections have consequences.
Yes, they do. So we all need to get out and vote. For our, what's in our heart is moral and right and just. And,
all patriotic Americans need to respond to what has happened over the last 7 months. Patriotic Americans ought not to sit this one out because this might be the last big opportunity to save America.
I'm on the same page. I fear that myself. Every day you see some other turn that's not quite right, and we hope that our elected officials can step up and do more for us in the legal sense, because everything that's being done on the administration side is always looked at as, can they get away with it legally? If not this way, well, then there's another way.
And it's really very sad, and right now it appears most Republicans in Congress have decided that they're going to get Trumpy with it. And I personally believe that not all, but the majority of Republicans in Congress and the House and Senate don't want to get Trumpy with it. It's just they want to keep their jobs because it's not easy to get elected to Congress. And once you're in, you want to stay in. And so because of their fear of being kicked out of their government job with all their great pay and benefits that go with being a member of Congress, they don't want to lose that. And I understand. I suppose I might be so inclined too. If I was a registered Republican and a member of the House or a U.S. Senator, I might be at least initially inclined to get Trumpy with it just to preserve my good life. And let's face it, to get into Congress is an honor and it's a privilege. And I'm inclined to think even the members of Congress with whom I may disagree, I think as far as I know, they got there honestly and they won elections in their home state or their district. And so even if I disagree with them, I understand, they're human too. Nobody wants to give up that kind of honor. But I think at some point, I'm hopeful that they'll come to their senses and say, no, we can't let one man wreck America after 250 years.
Just because of their job. They need to stand up for their, oh, their family, their future family, their grandkids, their granddaughters, their, you know, their whole future.
For future generations. I mean, America, the USA, by world standards, is still very young. And by all rights, this country should have not just another 250 great years ahead of it, but hopefully thousands and thousands of great years ahead of it. But it may not happen if some people who are in positions of power right now don't start to take notice of what's been going on and fight back.
Yeah, before everything is under control by the military.
Well, you still have a chance. Before martial law is declared and before elections are canceled.
Yes, we will keep,
getting
out there and talking and showing up.
Thank you. Thank you. You're starting the program on a positive note. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
1016 WNBF. We're patriots. We are Americans. And we are the silent majority. Let's face it. The people who are running things right now, you know, they like it the way it is. They enjoy the power that they have, and they want more power and more money. Not necessarily in that order. It's 1017. Good morning. You're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Real positive note there, Bob.
It's an excellent note. It shows that there are some people who are not going to just sit back and take it.
Yeah. Stay positive, Bob, but test negative.
Identify. Name, please. Name and Social Security number.
Social Security number, too. You want that, Bob? Hey, Bob, don't call us. We'll call you. Hey,
Wait, Dave, you didn't. Dave from Vestal. Okay. I have to fill out the paperwork in case the government comes and asks who who called in so they can track them down in their homes.
Sure. Send them all over, Bob. I'd love to greet them. And anyways, Bob, you made me let, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, you got pushing buttons. You're doing good already, Bob. You just started. You're not inferring that we need, well, you can save the country. All you got to do is vote for the Socialist Marxist Communist Party. That's all you have
to do. No, I didn't say anything about socialist or communist or Marxist. I'm saying America is too good to throw it all away.
Yeah, so vote Democrat. That's a joke. Come on. You want the country to be better?
Yeah, I want the country to be better. The country ought to be better, always better. I mean, that's what the claim is on those hats that are probably, in many cases, made outside the USA, those red and white caps. The message seems to be that we want the country to get better. And after everything that's happened since January 20th, yeah, it's right. It's time for the country to get better. We have to cure what ails us.
From now on, when people go out to vote, Bob, all they have to do is think back and remember 20 to 24. Just remember those 4 years, and they'll never vote Democrat ever again, ever. And you know what, Bob? The price, I don't care what the price of anything is. Public safety, number one. The border and crime. Those two will take Republicans, they will win for the next 50, 60 years, Bob, as long as they stay on that. Those two things, because you know what? You can't eat if you're dead. You can't pay for gas and drive your car if you're dead. Public safety, long as they stay on that, Democrats are done. Have a good day, pal.
It's 1019 WNBF. This is the issue-oriented program, so if you have some things you'd like to talk about, you can. 607-772-1290. All are welcome to our radio party. I'm Bob Joseph. Remember the name, Bob Joseph, WNBF Live.
Nature.
Don't bring me down. It's 1023. More calls are coming right up, so please stand by for more calls about the issues. First, though, a preview from Karen Sweet O'Neill, sponsored by KSO Insurance Solutions. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. I won't bring you down.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good tune. Tomorrow, what are we going to talk about? We're going to start to talk about some major changes for Medicare annual enrollment period, which is October 15th to December 7th for people that are on Medicare or people that are going into Medicare. And this year, it's really advised, all I can say for now, for people to make their appointments early. We're only going to be able to take so many, and there's a lot of changes. And it's very, very important for people, even if they have people that are on Medicare and they have a plan and they say, you know what, I like my plan, I don't want to change it, I'm going to keep it. You really want to pay attention to your mail because certain changes are coming, and we want to make sure that your coverages are intact. So sooner is better than later this year. We are at 1708 Vestal Parkway East, up above Plato's Closet and Style Encore. You can reach us several ways for an appointment, 607-772-4898. Or you can Google us at KSO Insurance. All our contact information comes up, including our website, and you can make an appointment that way. Or if you missed the phone number, we are at 607-772-4898.
And we will talk tomorrow.
Very good. Thanks, Bob. Have a great day.
You too. It's 1025 WNBF. Now back to the red hot phones. Let's go to the one of the hottest lines. James in Binghamton, you're on the air.
Oh, hot.
Oh, it's hot. Oh, it's almost too hot to handle.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry I missed your talk with Jerry yesterday. I still have an idea that we got a workshop, but I guess I got to wait again until Jerry gets into again. But, and, you know, and also, come on, man. Just give one of us a call if you got to be out for that first hour. I turn on to listen to you this morning, and I got to hear a whole bunch of Islamophobia about Mamdani. Like, stop.
Wait, they didn't. Those kids weren't talking trash against Mamdani. Come on, were they?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I was, you know, I'm supposed to be taking advantage of that hour to actually, like, a meal break and maybe get a cup of coffee. But you know me, instead of doing that, I'm out and about reporting stories.
No,
and,
you're working hard.
Yeah. So I was out taking pictures for a story that will be on WNBF.com in a few hours. I always say to myself, oh, I can always eat later in the week if I'm still hungry. So, yeah, so I didn't hear that part. I cannot believe my good friends Eric Harley and Gary McNamara would ever say anything negative about Comrade Mamdani.
Well, but to be fair, I only heard enough to hear them talking about someone saying they didn't know what globalized Yuntivada or whatever, however the hell you say it.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying.
Assuming they're talking about Mamdani.
Probably.
Like, I mean, come on. Look, if you want to pull that card out, look at every poll in New York City where he is outpolling everybody else in the Jewish community at almost every age bracket. So, like,
well, I think it'll be funny when President Trump offers Eric, who's the kid, current mayor who's in a lot of trouble and unpopular and probably conflicted and allegedly involved in corruption. Allegedly involved in corrupt practices.
I mean, anybody who thinks that, this is not why I called, but should be the name of my memoir. it thinks that Mamdani is going to win the election if they think there isn't going to be some sort of chicanery before the office gets turned over to him. I mean, you're crazy.
Wouldn't it be a tragedy if through all this, because of the goofiness that we know to be true in American politics in 2025, that because of the clever things that they do, and when I say they, I mean Donald Trump, to interfere with New York City's election so they can have effectively a two-person race, Andrew Cuomo versus...
Oh, I know. I don't think it will be that. I think it will be Mamdani wins, and then Eric Adams does something to something. Hey,
you're
in here to take... Yes. I think he...
Oh,
I
didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Bring all your tanks right across the G-dub.
I didn't think of that. I'm playing checkers, and you're playing four-dimensional chess.
Well, I mean, listen to the panic and read the panic of people who've been made to fear this guy or anything that has to do with advocating for consumer rights or creating a better community for just regular human beings. You can see in plain relief that it has nothing to do with communism versus socialism versus. This is literally the wealthy versus us. All right, and if you you won't be as soon as you're disposable.
It's powerful people with money against the rest of the world. And for some reason, this is one thing I don't understand. For some reason, many of the people who have the most money at the moment seem to be the angriest. You know, isn't it odd that 99% of the people who have, relatively speaking, little money seem to be relatively happy, but say the top 1% or the top 1/10 of 1%, man, they seem to be so distraught with their lot in life.
They call people like me. I just want angry. I just want some lower prices for groceries. And speaking of which, it was nice to hear Dave from Vestal finally call up and admit what he really feels, and that none of this has anything to do with prices and everything to do with racial and cultural animus. You know?
Yeah, that was actually that was the one thing that I didn't call attention to during his relatively brief monologue this morning. But I guess that is the headline. That's the headline. He finally acknowledged what we all know. So
yeah,
I appreciate that after all these months, he finally has conceded that.
Yeah, and if you want, look, and I've got some points, and I'm going to push back on him talking about, like, the Biden years being so awful, because I think he was the best first-term president in my lifetime. I'm not saying he
was excellent. I don't know if he was the best, but he was excellent. You know,
if you were rating him
on a scale of 0 to 100, I would say he's definitely in the 90s, you know, maybe 91-ish.
Well, let's look at the CHIPS Act. That was something that the previous Trump administration said they wanted to do, but the Biden administration actually did that. Inflation Reduction Act created tons of jobs and still creating jobs in all sorts of sectors, especially green energy, which we need to move to because China's about to lap us in that. And above all, what was the first thing Trump ran on? The infrastructure. And guess what? The last administration was the one that brought us the Infrastructure Act. In fact, Trump's being so petty about it, he's now running around putting his name on signs.
I saw that. He's putting up signs, not just regular signs, regular green and white infrastructure signs that we came to expect, but to be extra clever, he's putting up signs claiming responsibility for infrastructure projects that he opposed. He's putting up signs in red and white and trying to think, we don't get what's going on. Come on. We weren't born yesterday, my friend.
None of those original signs said Biden on it either. It said bipartisan.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Dave says the most important thing to him is tough on crime. Well, explain why the president you worship so much went to the Museum of the Bible, of all places, yesterday and started condoning and excusing domestic abuse and violence. I heard that,
and I was shocked. Especially given what he's, you know, currently under investigation for by many Americans. Many Americans are privately investigating this guy's past because of birthday letters and so on. So of all things to say that, it only, to me, if I was one of his advisors, I would have said, dude, don't go there. If you think something like that, you think it to yourself. You don't say it aloud.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Bob, but you understand the people that support him, the people that drafted Project 2025, the people that follow him, agree. You have to understand
I am not judging them.
These are people who want to end no-fault divorce.
Well,
right? These are people who look at women as property. That's what it is.
I'm not going to go there because I don't really know. It'd be easy for me just to stir up trouble as a talk show host and say, yeah, man, I'm sure, man, and just doing it to push people's buttons. But that's not who I am. I'll say this. James. Stop that snickering. Stop. Push it quickly.
All right. Well, if you really think about it, it's not too contradictory that he would condone domestic violence at the Museum of the Bible, but that's another topic altogether.
Yeah. I felt badly that I think he inadvertently said that. I mean,
no,
I don't think he went there intending to say it. And I'm not saying he didn't mean it. It's not like that. I'm just saying, basically, it's the type of thing you don't say. And my guess is his people, well, no, he doesn't have anybody who's not a yes person. Never mind. All right, thanks for your call. Yeah, I mean, if he had hired a bunch of people who were legitimate advisors who would actually not be afraid to tell him that something he said in public might not have been advantageous at this point in time. But he doesn't, as far as I know, there's nobody on staff who has the audacity. Although Melania might have had a word. But I don't even know where she is now. Suppose probably in New York or maybe hanging out with Yoko Ono and Sean in Delaware County. It's 10:34. Hi, WNBF. Good morning. Beverly from the town of Dickinson. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Never better. Loving life.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. What I'm asking is what I want to ask, why are they keeping that Epstein in the newspapers and on TV? He done the public a good favor when he took his own life because he was evil.
Well, that's a harsh thing. It's harsh to say that about someone who, according to the official account, died by suicide. I think it's tragic, any death by suicide. Indeed, if that's what happened. I know you've been touched, as many people have been touched by those who've died by suicide. So even for a person who may have committed some heinous acts, I would never wish that to happen.
I shouldn't have said it, Bob.
Yeah, I know. That's why I responded the way I did. But I also appreciate your strong feelings about him. And many people feel that way. And I have to say, I tend to feel that way. But I still did not wish him to die. We'll move on away from that. But as far as what's going on right now with examining this birthday letter, if someone sends a birthday letter to a guy like that, you do have to wonder.
Yeah, that's true, Bob.
Right? Say if I sent a birthday letter, I didn't, by the way, so you don't have to worry that's going to come out, you know, tonight on the Hannity show on Fox News Channel. I never sent, and I mean this sincerely, I never sent a birthday letter to that guy. And as far as the birthday letter that they're examining right now, is it a fake? Is it real? I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, we'll just say this, whether Donald Trump was the creator of the birthday letter or whether it was somebody else, whoever did it was sick.
I think Donald Trump's smarter than that.
Well, he's very smart. He is one of the smartest people, I think, to have been a Queens real estate developer who grew up in the second half of the 20th century. I'll grant that.
Yeah, he worked for his father, too. I have a book about him, about the deal of Donald Trump. He picked up a hammer one day, and his father said, "Do you want to learn how to build?" And he was 7 years old, and he said, "Yes." And that's how he got in real estate. But he's a smart guy, you know. But I wish the prices of groceries would go down. I mean,
well, not just that, not just the price of groceries, but now look at the price of gas. I thought everybody,
everybody
who was supporting him said, well, yeah, the price of food, which we need to live every day, the price of food keeps going up over the last 7 or 8 months, but at least the price of gas was stable, but not anymore. Now it's soaring.
No,
it's soaring
that.
Into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
And I, for one, find it deplorable.
Yeah, me too, Bob.
All right. Well, I appreciate your opinion. Thank you for calling in. I hope you have a good afternoon.
Okay, you have a good day. Selena, I haven't heard you on the radio. I just wonder if you're okay.
Yeah, she'll probably call in. If she doesn't call in today, she'll probably call in later this week.
Yeah, okay. Have a good day.
1038 WNBF. We're all family here. You don't have to agree. You don't have to disagree either. I mean, whatever. Your opinion is your opinion. Be proud of your opinion. Everyone was born with an opinion. 607-772-1290. I'm Bob Joseph. This is WNBF Live. 1043. We're still standing around the studio here because sitting around kind of doesn't seem appropriate. Standing in the studio with me in front of the mic. See what I'm saying? That's more appropriate than just sitting around eating delicious chocolates. All right, so this is it. This is President Donald Trump questioning how crime statistics are compiled. He raises a question: why incidents of domestic violence are included in crime statistics?
If a man has a little fight with the wife, they say this was a crime, see? So now I can't claim 100%.
What? No, I mean, really, what? A little fight with the wife. Now, get me Melania on line two. Like, man, the others. 1044 WNBF. Good morning. You're on the air. What's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Bob, just from where we go.
Yeah, welcome. Where are you? Are you in that shredding machine?
Pretty close to it.
Well, be careful. Don't get too close.
Hey, real quick, but food prices going up. I think one of the greatest things that's going on to help with that is solar farms from power banks to be put in. Somebody just mentioned the other day, some gal's got a channel, said 750 acres. But what'll happen is our money gets diverted into these programs to put up these solar farms, take the agriculture out of circulation, put all this, you know, plastic and lithium ion, whatever. And hopefully, you know, for their grandchildren stuff, it'll continue to drive the food prices up as we lose arable farmland that's fenced off and habitat and all that. And anyway, so, and about the violent stuff, you know, the Hodge twins have a really great channel, and there's a lot of people that are just sick of this 1% of American people that are just, they need to be put away.
Well, then put away the criminals and stop with the theatrics. Am I right? Enough wasting my money sending the National Guard out to do routine maintenance around national monuments and pick up the trash. That's not why they signed up. Show a little respect to the members of the National Guard.
Well, it did calm things down, but you're right. And the one thing is that judge that released that guy that stabbed that young lady, she needs to be in jail. That's all.
All right. Appreciate your call. Good luck. Be careful out there. Stay away from heavy machinery and pay attention to all the posted cautions. All right. Let me just cue this up again because I find it. I still find this soundbite to be desperately strange. Let's just hold on. Let me get this from our big stack of stuff. All right. So again, this is President Donald Trump, and this is his thought. This is his thought as provided by American Broadcasting Company. Notice, it's not the Russian Broadcasting Company or the Canadian Broadcasting Company. It's the American Broadcasting Company. Listen to this clip of the leader of the USA Today.
If a man has a little fight with the wife, they say this was a crime, see? So now I can't claim 100%.
It's 1048-607-772-1290. I'm Bob Joseph, WNBF Live. 1053, Bob Joseph on your side on a Tuesday morning. Still time to call, I guess. I can't say for sure, no guarantees. I don't guarantee a thing. There could be time if you call now at 607-772-1290. What I can guarantee is the finest weather forecast possible, thanks to the National Weather Service. Sunny today, high 76. Mainly clear tonight, low 47. Sunny tomorrow, high 76. Sunny Thursday, high 78. And so on and so forth. And we could go all the way to next Monday. There's no rain in Spain. Well, actually, there is now, but there's no rain in the forecast for Binghamton all the way through next Monday. It's going to be sunny almost every day, then Monday partly sunny, with temperatures each day in the low to mid-70s generally. Well, Thursday a little warmer, but not too warm, 78. Right now, 57 here at WNBF. Now they have a story. It says they found a body inside one of those Tesla cars. Tesla that they found in Los Angeles. Tesla registered to some guy. And now they're trying to figure out how the body got inside this abandoned Tesla. It says a body found in a bag inside the impounded car at L.A. tow yard. So can you imagine, and this happens, I mean, this happens even in Binghamton, they tow cars for whatever reason. Sometimes people have forgotten to pay their parking tickets, and so they get the boot, so to speak. And then after a while, the city gets tired of waiting for the registered owner to finally stop being such a deadbeat and pay off the parking tickets and then get the boot release so you could go drive your Tesla again with impunity. Anyway, they in Los Angeles, apparently, they found a Tesla that was in the impound, and then they do an inventory, evidently. So according to this, NBCLosAngeles.com, they found a body in the Tesla that was impounded at the L.A. tow yard. Workers at Hollywood Tow reported that it's something that smelled like a body was coming from the vehicle, so they called the cops to open the front trunk, or as Tesla fans might call it, a frunk. They found a body in a bag. The video from News Chopper 4 showed the Tesla surrounded by yellow police tape. It was impounded by the LAPD after it was abandoned. Captain Robert Peters said, "We were notified, and the car's been here for a couple days. Details about the identity of the person who found the car with the body in a bag, the person's name apparently wasn't released." So, which it's the way it would be in Binghamton if, or whatever, Broome County, Tioga County. If it happened around here, I don't even think the police would release that information. It'd be a secret. The reason I think they can corroborate it is because they have News Chopper 4. If we had News Chopper 34, then we would be able to find out a lot of stuff. But I'm going to check with Jim Emke, see if he'll get News Chopper 34. Put that in your budget for 2026. Now, live. Well, if we get News Chopper 34, then Jim Emke is going to be compelled to start providing live coverage of police chases like that one involving the Vestal cops. Did you hear the story Well, speaking of Jim Emke, he's the one who wrote the story about this, said according to witnesses, again, the Vestal police don't tell us about these things, so who actually knows how many Vestal police cars were chasing this stolen Jeep through Vestal and Endicott and the town of Union into Maine and, I guess, Lyle. According to this story from Jim Emke at News 34, according to witnesses, the Jeep was driving at a high rate of speed with half a dozen Vestal police vehicles in pursuit. And it says the people in the car jumped out, apparently, in Lyle and then were arrested while they were trying to scamper off. So a half dozen, think about it. If somebody had gotten killed, and I know you're saying, but nobody ever gets killed in police chases. That's all, that just happens in the movies or on Adam 12. It's not like if Vestal police are chasing people from the Vestal Parkway near sunny Binghamton University, chasing the vehicle with four punks at a high rate of speed down the parkway. Now that's amazing, just given the way the parkway is. How did they find the ability to drive their stolen Jeep on the parkway and go that fast? So amazingly, there's no report that anybody was involved in a crash during the chase on the parkway, which seems miraculous. Then according to this story from Jim Emke at BinghamtonHomepage.com, witnesses said a half dozen Vestal police cars were chasing the stolen Jeep all the way to Lyle. Can you imagine, Vestal taxpayers, how much money you would have to pay? Say if the four punks in that stolen Jeep were killed, and then say if, and again, this is a hypothetical, it didn't happen, but just say it happened. So half a dozen Vestal police vehicles are going all the way up into northern Broome County. And just say that for some reason, because probably one of the punks driving the stolen Jeep wasn't a very good driver, so he accidentally smashed into a school bus loaded with two dozen kids, and so then a lot of people would die. Can you imagine how much that would cost the taxpayers of Vestal? Fortunately, though, it doesn't happen in real life.
News, talk, and information for Binghamton and Central New York. This is News Radio, WNBF, Binghamton, a Town Square media station.
It's a pleasure to welcome back to the studio the Town of Union Supervisor Rob Mack. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Let's dive right in. One of my favorite locations in the Town of Union. And I was just there. I was just there a little over an hour ago. Man, some things don't change a lot. But on the other hand, I did notice a couple of things have changed. And, of course, I speak of the iconic and legendary Gowdy Station, which for decades provided some of the best power ever for New York State Electric and Gas and for good people like us. I mean, I am proud to say I probably, as a young lad in Endwell, in the Town of Union, I probably consumed some of that power that was generated using that very dirty coal-fired place over at Gowdy Station. So
we all did from 1917 on.
Sure. Yeah, so I accept my share of the responsibility, so willing to pay anywhere upwards of, between $50 and $100 to help them clean up the place, but I'm not sure how much that'll help. Anyway, let's put it into some context, because not everybody is familiar with Gowdy Station. So as you mentioned, Gowdy Station started as a relatively modest generation facility for New York State Electric and Gas about 108 years ago, just on the line of the village of Johnson City and the Town of Union. It's located truly just a few feet away from the Johnson City line. So give us a little bit of history. It obviously generated a lot of power for many decades, but then we're also concerned about what's happened in the last few decades. Give us a quick overview.
Well, as you know, the plant some 20 years ago was sold, and it was decommissioned as a coal plant. there was some interest in some folks coming in trying to convert it to natural gas and to try to keep it going as a power plant, which New York State is really low on power. And we could really use local power. As you know, there's some development in the town, in the county, that is being hampered by the amount of electricity we have. And you can put in a lot of solar, but solar does not provide the type of electricity we need to run businesses and run industry and so forth. So it is a shame that something couldn't have been salvaged from there. But the new owner who took it over mainly took it over because there was a lot of infrastructure there that fed other areas, meaning a NYSEG switching station, other infrastructure there that was still running through that property. Well, now that NYSEG is putting a new substation across the river in Vestal at the end of Commerce Road, all the switching and all the infrastructure that's over on that property is going to be moved and taken over to the Vestal site. So once that happens, that site will generate no more income whatsoever to the owner of the property. The EPA is involved because it is a very contaminated site. DEC is also involved, New York State. I had a meeting about a month ago with the EPA over there, and they had let me know that in September they were taking the violations over there to a higher level, which were going to require some type of action from the owner of that property. Bob, I know this morning you said there was a new sign. Maybe you could share that with us.
Yes, I was taken aback because not only was there some additional more recent vandalism and even new tagging on the guard shack with the year 2025, so people like me could know, wait, this is not, mm-hmm. you know, a photo. You can't use a file photo from the past because we have new tagging that I took pictures of that say something like Jimmy 2025 or whatever. I made up a name because of HIPAA. So the new sign says, Gowdy Power Station site, EPA Region 2, no trespassing, which is in red, which obviously criminals can't see red, I guess, in a lot of cases. And then in big fonts, so even somebody with less than stellar vision would be able to read this. It's on a yellow background with big, bold type. It says, Super Fund Project, Time Critical Removal Action. See?
Got it.
So, and that is a more powerful sign than was previously there.
Yes, and that is what the EPA had told us was a higher level citation or warning to the owner that things need to get cleaned up. The place is frightening. Bob, I don't know when the last time you were on the site itself in there, but we took a complete tour of it about a month ago. It is an extremely dangerous location. Anybody who lives over there, anybody who has children who may want to think they want to go explore, please, please warn them because it is full of asbestos. It has underground holes, I'll call them holes, that are at least 20 feet deep. And they do have a protective fence around it, but we know how how fences are easily breached.
Right. In Johnson City, fire officials and the Broome County Sheriff's Office and state police can attest that more than a few people over the course of a year have been going inside there on a regular basis trying to scavenge copper wire.
Yep.
And apparently the way they do it, see, I don't know anything about scrap copper, but apparently if you want to steal somebody's copper wire, some people decide that it's smart to put it in a pile and then try to burn the insulation off. So, and that's why the Johnson City Fire Department has been receiving frequent calls to that site.
And Johnson City actually refuses now to go in and try to put out a fire. If a fire
is that a new policy?
Yes, and I don't blame them. We contract with the Village of Johnson City for that district. It's a fire district. The Westover Fire District. And the mayor and the fire chief, a couple months ago now, let me know that next time there's a fire over there, they'll go over and they'll maintain, they'll look at the perimeter, but they are no longer going to endanger their men by going on that site and trying to put it out. There's nothing else there that's really going to be a problem if it, there's not a lot to catch over there. But Johnson City, and I don't blame them, they're risking their firefighters every time they go on that property.
Well, that, I'm glad to hear that, because I've responded to a few, not all of them, and not most of them, but to a few of the calls when they've been dispatched over there to put out some of these fires. And most of them don't take too long to put out. But again, because of the deteriorated condition of the property, last thing that anybody wants to see is a firefighter in Broome County killed putting out a fire in an abandoned property. We already saw one of those this year in Binghamton on Main Street with a property that had been abandoned for several years. And sadly, we lost a firefighter due to a structure collapse. So the last thing, firefighters know what their job is, and to put out structures and fires in occupied buildings and rescue people if they're inside. But putting our firefighters and other first responders at risk for a property that's been abandoned and also not close to other properties. It's not as though if there's a fire in the middle of the old Gowdy Station property, it's likely to threaten much of anything else.
Absolutely true. And that's why I say when the mayor let us know, we had no problem with it, and we applauded it, actually. No sense risking life over there. But, you know, to say a property or someplace has pitfalls, it is the exact definition of the word. While I was over there, the DEC fella said, oh, you know, look over there where that pallet is. That pallet's covering a hole that drops about 20 feet down. We walked over to the hole to look at it, and the comment was, oh, somebody moved the pallet. But they're all over. I mean, there's no way to secure the place because these pitfalls, they're every place on the property, because there was at least two stories of development underneath that property where they brought in water to cool the generators. And they probably had to get down below the water table to have that amount of water that they needed in these cisterns to keep those generators cool. And so it is just absolutely a frightening property. And I just hope the EPA and the DEC stays on this landlord to get the place cleaned up. I believe right now there's a little bit of a difference of opinion between what the landlord feels needs to be spent to get it cleaned up and what the EPA is estimating. Because when you start a cleanup like that, you have to buy a bond that guarantees that the cleanup is done to completion and to the satisfaction of both New York State and the federal government. And as you can imagine, that's a pretty big number. And I understand that's where the negotiations are right now, is trying to come up with a number that's reasonable to get that place cleaned up.
Well, it's one of those things that so many times I hear from people saying, well, when, for example, is the old smokestack coming down? Because that's visible to many people passing by on Main Street or Riverside Drive or just generally in anywhere in that area, you know, around Westover. And a lot of times I have shrugged. I've said, because I've talked to some people, including you, and I've said, well, people are working on it, and there has been some progress, including some things that really aren't reportable yet, but there are people who are really interested in taking steps to finally address the site and remediate it, and perhaps at some point in time it actually could have an appropriate new use.
If the property gets cleaned up, we do have 27 acres adjacent to it that is the former BAE site. And if that property ever gets a clean bill of health, it's possible that we could have a fair amount of development there. I don't remember the exact acreage of that site. I believe it's larger, about 35 acres or so, but that's off the top of my head. So those two sites together, actually, there could be some substantial development there.
Well, stay tuned. Related to that is the adjacent site just to the north, 600 Main Street, which had been, up until exactly 14 years ago this week. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think probably this was the first day, September 9th, 2011, that the plant was out of commission. I think everybody went to work, if I'm not mistaken, maybe on September 8th, 2011. And then I guess they had to leave early because the rain kept coming and coming and coming. And then ultimately the place was rendered useless because there were who knows how many thousands, millions, zillions of gallons of water. The place eventually was demolished by the federal government, which owned the facility, which was the U.S. Navy plant, Air Force Plant 59. Yep. So it finally was torn down at federal government expense. But then since the demolition happened over a decade ago, the whole lot has been useless. It's been surrounded by fencing. We know the town and the county and the IDA have been working to develop some plans that could possibly make that site usable again. One thing that didn't happen this year that I thought was going to happen was the plan to elevate a good portion of the site. So it would be, if there was any new development there, at least it would be on a portion of the property that would be more, or rather less prone to flood damage.
I recently had a conversation with Stacy Duncan at the IDA about that. And it is still on the radar, and it's months away, not years away, from when that fill project will happen. As you know, out of the 27 acres, we're going to be looking to fill 12 or so of those acres and bring the level up high enough that it's above floodplain. There are some very interested parties interested in building on that site. And good news for the area, because one will be keeping a rather large employer in Broome County because of it, if the whole thing comes through. And the other one is a company that's looking to expand. So we do have some real solid development possibilities there. I mean, of course, it has to be voted on and it has to go through planning and all the red tape, so to speak. But it's exciting to have someone looking to invest in putting a couple nice buildings on that site once we finish with the fill project.
So are those prospective users talking about using it for warehousing, for distribution?
It is zoned industrial. Yeah. So I do believe one is a type of manufacturing business and retail, or not retail, warehousing type business. And the other would be dealing with equipment type stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it's zoned for those things.
So if there is manufacturing, would it be considered light manufacturing?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I would think that's called light manufacturing. Right.
They're not going to be making Teslas there.
No, and they're not going to be using forging drivers or anything that would...
Not trying to make lithium-ion batteries. No. It's not one of those
They won't be disturbing the neighborhood, if that's what you're asking. It's a quiet businesses.
All right. That's kind of... Because you know how people are sensitized these days if well, it's not lithium-ion batteries, it's next-gen hydrogen batteries or something. It's like,
yeah.
Because especially when it's cutting-edge technology, people are concerned. Oh, and by the way, just to get it out of the way, you haven't heard anybody saying that either the Gowdy property at 720 Riverside Drive or the former Air Force Plant 59 property at 600 Main Street, there's no talk of Kathy Hochul putting in one of her nuclear plants.
Not to my knowledge, so I think we're safe.
It's near the river.
It is near the river, but I don't know if our river's deep enough.
I don't think it's...
And has enough flow to...
Well, certainly not during points in certain times of year.
Right.
I mean, look how low it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'd have to build a pretty big dam to get that river high enough to feed a nuclear power plant, even a small one, I would think.
But, you know, never say never.
We need the power.
Well, we need the power. You know, we can't fight the power. We need the power. But, you know, I mean,
with everything having to be electric in a couple years, according to the governor, we better get more power or we're going to be having problems.
Including school buses. I want to see that. I want to see how we afford all electric school buses in Broome and Tioga counties. I wonder what the tax rate would be for.
Well, there is no limit on school tax.
I know.
It's whatever you want it to be, whatever they
want. Well, that's what I'm worried about. You know, I know a lot of people who don't have a lot of money left over right now. So if they're going to have to pay whatever the going rate in a few years, 2030 or whatever, 2035 for electric buses at $2 million a copy.
Would love to see some sort of reform. My brother-in-law lives just outside Philadelphia in a small town, and they just passed a 1% income tax on all residents, whether you're a renter, an owner, no matter what. Now you're paying a 1% income tax, non-deductible. It's just 1% off the top of your salary. That is in lieu of them having to keep raising school taxes out of sight. I don't know. At least everybody gets the pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just homeowners and property owners.
Yeah. Going to have to make a pretty large addition to the poorhouse.
Could be.
On Watson Boulevard. It's 1128. Kidding. It's 1128. WNBF. More information, including something really intriguing about someone who grew up in the town of Union. Stay tuned. You may not believe it. This is WNBF Live. Bob Joseph with you on a Tuesday morning. Our guest in the studio is Robert Mack, the Town of Union Supervisor. Oh, here's one. And I just to assure our listeners, I didn't even mention I was going to bring it up. So this will be one of those things. You'll be like, Bob, why did you bring it up? Please don't bring up this. But it's still relevant. We've talked about it in the past. Anything new in the Town of Union as far as assisting people who are homeless? And again, this is not unique to the Town of Union. And I know I will say one thing about the one of the higher profile places where people had for a while had an encampment, so much so that they put up a sign and had a name. I think it was Minion Camp, just to the south of Route 17 there in the Town of Union. And well, and
actually to the north.
Is it? Okay. Well,
I think it was because you saw
I'm thinking because where I look at it
from. It was on the north shore of the river.
Yeah. Yes. So, and fortunately, and I can't remember if it was a couple years ago, it was shortly after I think we talked about it on the program, and then there was a forecast for some heavy rain and I think melting snow. And fortunately, I think the state police and some others assisted to get people out of an area that was dangerous. So, and there have been other properties, including some owned by the town, where efforts have been focused to try to keep encampments from springing up. And I know, actually, I checked out the entranceway to what had been this Minion Camp, it does go
under the highway.
Under the highway. Yeah, so it's south of the highway.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I meant north of the river.
Yes. So, yeah, between the highway and the river. And so what I was impressed by, the fence, along with the lock and all the efforts I think the DOT did to secure that area, were still in place.
Yes. Well, that, as we've talked about before, is New York State property. That is managed by the Department of Transportation. And finally, the New York State Police from Albany got the word to get in there, clean it up, secure it. They did go in there and clean out that camp. As you may have expected, they found tons of stolen merchandise, bicycles, gas grills, propane tanks, all kinds of stolen merchandise in that Minion Camp. They did post no trespassing signs and that violators will be prosecuted. They made that alleyway quite secure, so folks can't get under there anymore and get in there. I've actually gotten complaints from people because they like to ride their motorcycles and their ATVs in there. And I've even had calls from folks wondering if they could go in and go fishing. And I told him, I said, it's not our property. I cannot give you permission to go in there. And you very well could be prosecuted because of the situation. So that particular part of Endwell has eliminated that problem. I do know that whenever the state police or the sheriffs do go in and clean out places or ask people to move along, they give them information on lodging, food, where they can get help. And as you know, so many just don't want it, you know.
One thing I noticed also at a separate occasion earlier this year, I know who that is. They're testing to see if this is really a live interview.
I thought it was on silent.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Yeah. Actually, that reminds me, I should silence my phone now. Before.
Oh, that was your phone anyway.
Yeah, oh, yeah, we could say.
Someone calling in a hot story.
Yeah, plausible deniability. What I did notice, there was an episode, maybe last spring, early this year, and a utility pole caught on fire over near there. For some reason, there's a pole, and the only way that NYSEG could access it, and I think the fire department had to respond too, because for some reason, there's a utility pole on the other side going through that little tunnel under the highway, and the only way it could be accessed by the fire department and NYSEG was to go through that fence. And I wound up being over there one morning before I came in here, and I saw the state police were using a vehicle I had never seen before. They have a special vehicle, sort of an off-the-road vehicle, that they can use, and I talked with the troopers, and they said, yeah, we occasionally use this just to keep an eye on things if we have to go through here, like an area with no roads, and it might be muddy and whatever. So they were keeping, even then, a pretty close eye on the things going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really starting to monitor it down there. So I'm hoping the folks who live in that area, they have to be pleased because of all the problems they were having with their thefts of their property and people just all over the neighborhood. So we're very happy that the DOT and the state police have cracked down on it.
What other new projects are going on? Well, I know one big housing project in Endwell is nearing completion, and it's amazing how fast they've been working on that.
Yeah, the Hooper Road project's coming along nicely. I believe they're hoping by the end of the year to have folks in there, and it looks nice. I don't think it fits in well with the area, and you know, it's going to be managed by the same company that does the Marion Apartments, which is a good management company, the SEP company. So we're real happy about that. SEP is trying to get more funding to do that St. Ambrose project up in Endicott.
That's what I heard, that they're still hoping to make that happen.
We are involved. The town of Union's involved in it some through our LDC corporation, which is our local development corporation. It is a project in the village of Endicott, of course, but because we are involved, I know that the project is still trying to move forward. And it's a pretty big project. I can't remember the number. But
$11 million.
I thought it was $12 million.
Well, yeah. It may now be, because when I spoke with
John Bernardo
from SEP at that time, and that was December of 2023 when we did the first story, and he said it was estimated to be $11 million, and this would be at the old St. Ambrose School and in the adjacent gymnasium. So that project site is right near the corner of Broad Street and Garfield Avenue.
That's
not
correct.
Far from Washington Avenue.
I think the latest number I saw was close to 13 million. I think it was 12.9 or something, which would make sense.
Well, given
years later.
Well, yeah, given the cost of materials and labor, who knows, by the time, if it does go forward, I would speculate the final cost could be in excess of $15 million. I mean, we'll see. Nobody knows, but the only thing you know, and I know, and everybody else realizes with any kind of construction, the cost never goes down. every day, the cost is going to go up at least a little bit. It's 11:42 here at WNBF and WNBF.com. One other note, and this is on a much smaller scale, and I haven't had a chance to follow up with a story, but I still intend to, that spec house on O'Day Drive. It was sold. Mm-hmm. There are people living in there, and I actually had a chance to chat with the developer who he was happy. I called him, I think, about a month ago and said, "Hey, I notice it's been sold." Mm-hmm. It's sold for a substantial amount. It was under $400,000. I think it was between $350,000 and $400,000. And so Michael Malarkey, who built that spec house, mm-hmm. said he was pleased about that. And he also indicated that there is a possibility of some additional houses being built in that area, not necessarily spec houses, but perhaps houses that he would build to order. But he was, because remember when we first reported on that, I'd say maybe about a year ago.
18 months, maybe.
Yeah, and you know, that was pretty interesting because, as you pointed out at the time, not many spec houses, not much single-family construction was going on, certainly not with houses that weren't already pre-sold. So it's encouraging.
Yes, it is.
Any other...
Just our construction projects are all, the saying around here, there's winter and construction.
Yeah.
You know, Hooper Road is repaved. We're paving tons of streets in the town of Union. All of the pump house upgrades are nearing completion or at a good spot. These were all funded, a lot of them were funded with what we called the ARPA money. And that money needs to be spent by the end of 26. So we have about 15 months to get it all out the door. And it looks like we'll do that without any problem.
11:44, coming up, a really interesting story about a person who really grew up in the town of Union. I thought I knew it all. I've determined I don't know the half of it. You're going to hear it coming up live. I think you're going to be pretty impressed with what you hear. Coming up next here on WNBF Live. Our guest in the studio is the town of Union Super. Let me start over again because I'm getting so confused. Oh, before I go any further, I want to do a correction about that mention to the... about the Gowdy Station sign where I said that EPA sign is brand new. Turns out, no, it's the same sign that was there, at least for probably the last year or two. So I looked up a previous story and I said, oh, well, no, that's the same sign I saw this morning. So I wanted to get that on the record.
Well, we do know the EPA, though, this month is going to be putting a little more pressure on the owners of that property.
Now, a person who grew up in Endwell is going to be in the spotlight again really soon as part of a Broadway production. Tell me about this. I think this is fascinating.
Well, Bob, yesterday I got a phone call from a freelance reporter who was doing a story, I believe he said, for a Syracuse publication. And he wanted to know what the town of Union supervisor's take was on the new Broadway play, The Queen of Versailles. It's a play that's opening in November in New York City with Kristen, I can't think of her last name right now. I just drew a blank.
Kristen Chenoweth.
Chenoweth, yeah. Yes. And who is very famous and many years been on Broadway and on different programs. She's playing the lead part, but it's a story about a woman who was born and raised in Endwell, graduated from UE High School in 2004, went on to RIT and earned a degree in computer engineering, then went on to become Miss Florida in the USA pageant. I believe that was around 93. And then a few years later, married a billionaire, Mr. Siegel. And Jacqueline Mallory from Endwell became Jackie Siegel. They raised 8 children together, and they decided to build the largest single-family home in the United States. And they decided to make it exactly like the Palace of Versailles over in Paris. So it's quite an interesting story. The opening song is about a young girl living in Endwell. She mentions Endwell, New York a couple times, and she mentions going to the Oakdale Mall and a few other landmarks, and her dream of getting out of Endwell and making it big in the big city.
So this sounds almost like my story, where I was growing up in Endwell, and my big dream was to go to the big city, Binghamton.
Exactly.
So, but notice there's no Broadway production about my life. So bottom line is, this is going to premiere, I believe, on Broadway in about 2 months.
Yeah, November 9th, I thought, was the date. The music is written by the same fellow who wrote Wicked. So there's some pretty big stuff behind the play itself. It did open in Boston a few months ago to really good reviews. And like you know, they test other cities many times before they bring it to Broadway. When you get towards the middle of the play, there's another song where she yearns to get back to Endwell and to the simple life she had after some family tragedy. There's some definite ups and downs in the story with this woman and her life. She comes full circle. She goes, it's not, I wouldn't say rags, but she goes from middle class to ultra, ultra billionaire rich to somewhat less rich. And now has come full circle, and it's interesting to see a play on Broadway based are starting from Endwell, New York.
Did she mention going to kindergarten at Homer Brink School?
Not in the play, but I'm sure in her writings and some of the other shows she's done. There's 2 documentaries on her. One was a 2012 documentary on Netflix, I believe. And then there's another one, 2022, that I believe is on HBO now. But I think they're both accessible on YouTube and different venues.
Well, I'll invite her to come back to Endwell. I'll show her what's changed since she left, including what happened to McDonald's there on East Main Street. She'll be heartbroken.
She will be. I'm sure she will. She probably doesn't know that the Oakdale Mall is now the Oakdale Commons, so we need to...
Well, I'll drive her over there, too, and show her and say... Look,
wait till we get the Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. And I'll invite her over on Sunday. I bet if she comes on Sunday, I bet they'll open up that Chick-fil-A for Jackie Siegel. And all I have to do, I'll make a call down to the Atlanta area, call you-know-who, and he'll make the call to the local operator and say, now don't let this get out. It's going to be the first time we've ever opened a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. But in this particular case, for Jackie Siegel and Bob Joseph, we'll do it. And make sure that you don't overcharge them. Just charge them and give them the discount, because we like them.
It sounds great to me, Bob.
So, but isn't that interesting that someone who did grow up in Endwell, and as by the way, let's face it, there's another person who grew up in Endwell who ultimately became a billionaire too, who actually has been on this program, Tom Tull. And just think about that, and you read his story, you know, growing up in Endwell, and he talked about it when he was on the program several years ago. Hey, aspects of his life when he was young were challenging, to say the least, for him and his mom.
Yeah, he came from a little different world than she did.
Yes.
She had a mom and dad and a couple siblings. Yeah. And she's been back a few times. You said you saw where she went to visit school.
SUNY Broome. And a school, an elementary school in Endicott.
Where her younger brother was, yeah.
Very interesting. We'll look forward to that premiere, The Queen of Versailles, the musical, premiering in November. I think I'll have to take a road trip to Manhattan.
I agree. I'm going to do the same.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate your information. Town of Union Supervisor Rob Mack. I think we all learned a few things today on WNBF. I'm Bob Joseph. Hope you have a great afternoon. I'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll talk about more issues on WNBF Live.